Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Against the Tide brings together a wide-ranging selection of Roger Scruton's journalism, offering readers a concentrated view of his public voice as a philosopher in the arena of current affairs. Known for combining cultural criticism with political argument, Scruton writes as someone determined to defend inherited institutions, aesthetic standards, and social bonds against what he saw as fashionable dogmas. The book showcases his talent for the short form, columns and commentaries that move quickly from contemporary events to deeper questions about tradition, authority, freedom, and the meaning of belonging. Rather than presenting a single sustained thesis, the collection works like a map of recurring concerns, from the place of religion in public life to the health of national identity and the decline of serious culture. Readers can expect argument that is often contrarian, always literate, and typically rooted in a conservative moral imagination that prizes continuity over rupture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, conservatism as an attitude toward inheritance and change. A central through line in Scruton's columns is conservatism understood less as a party platform and more as a disposition toward what a society has received from the past. He returns to the idea that institutions, laws, and local customs embody hard-won knowledge that cannot be replaced easily by abstract schemes. In this view, reform is not rejected, but it must be cautious, incremental, and attentive to unintended consequences. Scruton frequently contrasts organic social order with projects that promise liberation through sweeping redesign, arguing that such projects can erode the very conditions that make freedom livable, including trust, norms, and shared meaning. The essays typically explore how intellectual fashion can mistake novelty for progress, and how political rhetoric can detach citizens from their actual communities. Even when commenting on immediate controversies, he tends to ask older questions: what binds people together? What do they owe one another, and what is lost when belonging is reduced to individual preference? The result is a portrait of conservatism that emphasizes stewardship, gratitude, and the moral importance of limits. Secondly, culture, beauty, and the standards that shape a civilization. Scruton is widely associated with the defense of beauty and high culture, and the collected pieces reflect that concern in accessible journalistic form. He argues that art, architecture, literature, and music do more than entertain. They educate perception, refine desire, and give public expression to a shared sense of the sacred or the dignified. When cultural standards weaken, he suggests, communities can lose common reference points that once united different classes and generations. The commentaries often critique trends he sees as replacing aspiration with shock, craftsmanship with ideology, and judgment with relativism. At the same time, he treats culture as something lived, not merely curated, paying attention to how ordinary places and local habits contribute to beauty in daily life. Readers will find arguments that aesthetic choices have ethical and political consequences, a built environment can encourage respect or hostility, and a cultural canon can invite gratitude or resentment. Across the essays, Scruton presents beauty as a form of responsibility, something preserved through education, patronage, and the courage to discriminate between the excellent and the merely fashionable. Thirdly, nation, citizenship, and the meaning of belonging. Another prominent topic is the nature of national identity and why it matters in an age of global markets and transnational politics. Scruton often frames the nation as a home, a source of legal and emotional solidarity that makes democratic responsibility possible. Without a shared sense of membership, he argues, politics becomes either technocratic management or conflict among interest groups, with fewer reasons for citizens to accept sacrifice, compromise, and the rule of law. His commentary tends to distinguish healthy patriotism from aggressive nationalism, insisting that attachment to one's country can coexist with civility and respect for other nations. He also explores how citizenship involves duties as well as rights, and how loyalty to a place and its history can anchor social trust. While his positions can be contentious, the essays aim to recover the legitimacy of ordinary attachments that intellectual elites sometimes dismiss. The collection invites readers to consider whether political life can remain stable when belonging is treated as optional, and what kinds of shared narratives are needed for plural societies to endure. Fourthly, religion, moral order, and the search for meaning in public life. Scruton's writing frequently returns to the question of what sustains moral commitment once religious belief and traditional authority lose cultural force. He does not treat religion merely as private consolation, but as a historical source of moral language, community rituals, and concepts of personhood that shape law and custom. In many commentaries, he examines the modern tendency to replace religious frameworks with political or psychological substitutes, arguing that societies still hunger for the sacred even when they deny it. This leads him to analyze the moral passions that animate ideological movements, along with the dangers of treating politics as salvation. The pieces often explore how moral order depends on practices of restraint, forgiveness, and responsibility, virtues that can be difficult to maintain in cultures that celebrate transgression or reduce ethics to preference. Scruton also tends to defend the idea that institutions such as marriage, education, and local associations transmit moral knowledge across generations. Whether readers agree or not, the essays press a consistent question: what accounts for obligation, and how does a free society cultivate conscience without coercion? Lastly, Critique of Ideology and the Role of the Public Intellectual. As a columnist and critic, Scruton positions himself against what he regards as ideological thinking, especially when it presents itself as moral certainty. Across the collection, he examines how slogans, academic theories, and media narratives can flatten complex realities into simple binaries of oppressors and victims, progress and reaction. He argues that ideology often offers instant belonging and ready-made indignation, but at the cost of truthful description and humane judgment. Many pieces highlight the importance of irony, historical memory, and plain language as antidotes to intellectual fashions that demand conformity. Scruton also reflects, implicitly and sometimes explicitly, on what it means to write in public as a philosopher, to risk unpopularity, to defend distinctions, and to insist that disagreement is not the same as malice. The essays show his preference for argument, grounded in experience of particular places and traditions, rather than abstract models. For readers, this topic raises practical questions about how to read opinion journalism critically, how to resist moral panics, and how to preserve room for thoughtful dissent in polarized societies. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want to understand Roger Scruton's public-facing thought without committing first to his longer philosophical works. It will appeal to conservatives seeking a more cultural and moral articulation of their instincts, as well as liberals, centrists, and students who want a clear example of an intellectually serious, argumentative voice from the right. The main benefit is not agreement but sharpening. The essays model how to connect everyday controversies to deeper questions about beauty, belonging, obligation, and the unintended costs of political zeal. Because the pieces are short and varied, they encourage reflection in manageable doses and invite readers to test their own assumptions about progress, tradition, and national life. Compared with many contemporary political collections that chase viral outrage, this volume stands out for its literary polish and its willingness to treat culture as central rather than decorative. It is worth buying if you want opinion writing that aims at principles, not just positions, and if you value criticism that engages history, art, and moral psychology alongside politics. Even when you disagree, the arguments can improve how you think and speak. If you would like to support Roger Scruton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.